Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the BBC coverage of the American elections. We have Tinky Winky and Poe in one corner, and Dustin and Ben in the other. How are you guys doing?
As someone who has to actually suffer through this, I don't appreciate your jokes.
As someone who doesn't, I do.
How are we all doing on this well, mixed bag of Saturday weather across the globe?
Well, it's enjoyable here. 60 degrees. It's sunny. That's Fahrenheit, so nobody is dying. But, you know, it's beautiful here. I'm going to go play a round of golf after this, so no complaints.
Oh, excellent. Make sure you hit a birdie, pal. And Ben?
Well, it's almost dark, so and it's Halloween, so, you know, cold and wet, as you'd expect.
Don't tell me you're scared of the ghouls.
I'm extremely.
You better watch out for those ghouls.
I don't know where to run in this new house. I haven't got all my security protocols set up.
Yeah, we've got ghosts running around. We've got werewolves on the loose. Sexual predators near schools. It is not an ideal time to be out in the world right now.
Also, did you see Sean Connery died?
Oh. I did. The best James Bond. The best James Bond. Yeah. No one else has that swagger
Sean
and charm.
Sean Connery?
That's a terrible impression.
You do it.
Yeah, you just did your own voice. You just did your own voice and went, I'm James Bond. I,
007 here. Man, this sounds just like him.
Hey, I'm James Bond. Can I get a natty light?
The natter days.
All right. We have a refreshing change of pace for this discussion schedule for you guys. We're going to be looking more at fantasy football in a general sense. And this is kind of, you know, I had this idea that I want to talk about fantasy football more in a general sense because I am 2-5 and I don't like talking about our league. So we're not anymore. We're done. This is no longer a league podcast. This is a football podcast.
Suits me.
What's your record again, Ben?
I don't know. Honestly, I've just given up. My team has been absolutely rinsed by injuries and I'm sick of it.
Yeah, I started off rough, 0-1, and I was like, okay, I can bounce back, not a problem. And then I have, what, 4 or 5 people on my team go down for multiple weeks. It has been rough.
I'm 4-3. There you go.
All right, well, don't have to brag about it.
So, I'm 4th overall, still.
I think I'm 2nd last, only to Armando, who is AFK. Shout out to Armando, who's given me a free bye week.
Oh, that's a good deal. Yeah, I'm having a much better season considering you guys were top in the rankings in our previous episodes, but
we were
sitting at 5-2, but I just got whooped by Josh. And really, I mean, even though the standings are pretty close, Sam is just killing us all in total points, or points for.
He was the consensus number one again, though, wasn't
he? I think so. His team is just outrageous.
But he's not got a perfect record, though. He lost to someone, didn't he?
He did lose to someone, but I don't know who. But his team is still just racking up the points.
Yeah, I mean, if the Chiefs can lose to the Raiders, then Sam can lose to someone.
Was it Josh?
Shout out to that, whoever that is.
Might have been Josh.
It probably was Josh. Josh is doing well.
6-1
very
as well,
yeah. We might have a new contender for the numero uno.
Gosh, didn't we all rank him last? I'm pretty sure we shat on him for 10 minutes.
Yeah, Josh might be going for the WAP Cup.
We just tore him apart saying how bad his team he picked up was, and now we look dumb.
Is this galactic karma? Is this what this is?
It's just injuries, chaps. That's you know, we're clearly experts, but
clearly
how do we predict injuries?
Ooh. You can't predict injuries, and you know, they're, I mean, look at Michael Thomas, right? Undisputed, the number of top 5 at least fantasy asset across the board, top 5. No. And he's a genuine hindrance on my team right now. He's got that high ankle sprain and it is going to be causing real issues.
So Gopher, who's 4-3, beat Sam week one. And then Josh actually lost to Ben. So it's a little bit of a free for all right now. There's a lot of pretty good teams, but Sam's just running away with the points four.
It's all about the expected, the potential, right? You know, when you look at fantasy football players and you're looking at statistics, the main, you know, a very important statistic is air yards per route run. That's one that is touted a lot by these experts. And that's, you know, the potential. That's where you could be. And that's the same with Sam. You know, you look at the statistics, that's where he's going to be.
Yeah, he's got the best.
Yep. No question about it. But good thing we're not talking about that anymore.
No, we're not. We're talking about the election. The Fantasy Football League in general. So our first topic of the day is players who have impressed us so far. And we've got some interesting ones here. I'm excited to kind of dig into this. So, Dustin, why don't you kick us off, pal?
Well, I think somebody who I drafted or picked up a lot when they were a rookie and then has shown really, I think, having a pretty strong season for a team that's better than expected. Running back 20, Myles Gaskins. I thought Myles Gaskins was going to be a good player coming out of Washington. Ended up on the Dolphins, and you know, they had, I think, Drake at the time, and he got a couple opportunities but didn't really pan out. But you know, he's even as RB20, which I was kind of surprised it wasn't higher. He's kind of making me question whether it's really a viable long-term option. He's not scoring touchdowns, but you know, they're having success and he seems to be playing really well.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Gaskin too. I have him in my other league. He's been consistent. He's a good flex guy. You're always tentative to have him in there simply because of the Dolphins, and you don't know what's going to happen with the Dolphins. But I liked him coming at college. A lot of people were kind of concerned. I think I probably would have been one of them about the additions the Dolphins made to the running back room in the start of the season, during the season, etc. And he's just not being fazed by it. Jordan Howard, who?
Or Matt. Yeah, I mean, Matt Burrito was another one that was thought to be a lot. I mean, I think he's been a little banged up, but
he's ruined Matt Burrito for me. I had a lot of stock of Matt Burrito, and he's ruined him for me. But, I mean, if you look at his snapshot, it's increased from like 25 to 65%. Yeah, he is the option at running back for the Dolphins. So if he keeps performing like he is, his long-term prospects, I mean, he's only 23, 24. He's got great prospects.
Absolutely. Expecting big things. Continuing going forward from Myles Gaskin. And I'm happy with where he is so far. He's got a good ground to begin.
If you own him in a dynasty league, you more than likely either in a pretty deep league or you probably end up getting him off waivers, which makes him just, you know, it makes it just a huge hit, and you hope he just keeps the job as a long-term option. That's the exciting part.
It's a lot like James Robinson, but he hasn't hit the payload yet. Moving on to Ben. Who would you like to bring up for the group?
I think I'm going to go DK Metcalf. I love the guy. Obviously, I'm a Seahawks fan anyway. Him paired with Tyler Lockett are just absolutely dynamic. He draws so much coverage, if you watch the game at the weekend, I know they lost, but Tyler Lockett's receptions were unbelievable. And a lot of that's due to DK taking all the coverage. He's taken a massive step forward this year, and he has been super, super efficient with his receptions and scoring touchdowns at will. The guy's an absolute beast. And did you see him take down Buda Baker?
I was so hoping you'd bring that up.
Unbelievable. The guy's a freak, a complete freak.
So if we just discuss DK Metcalf, trying to get his stats up here. You mentioned his efficiency.
That's
apparently this isn't working. I'm not getting him up. I don't get to talk about him. There we go.
Well, I'll just, while you're so we don't have any downtime, I'll just mention one of us thought that he was going to be the best wide receiver in that division as a dynasty asset. I'm just going to throw that out there. It was me. You guys are sleeping on him.
I don't know if you did. I don't know if I quite remember it that way, Dustin, but never mind.
I feel like, didn't we go Hopkins in the end?
You guys went Hopkins. One of us said Metcalf. I mean,
isn't Hopkins the number one receiver?
I miss the asset. He's getting older.
Yeah. Yeah, but if he's got another 3 years of popping off, nonetheless, you have a good reason to be saying that. He is an excellent dynasty. You'd be more than happy to have him on your team.
He's in dynasty. He's rising up the rankings because, you know, it's a long term, but you know, I think I'm very excited to see how he plays in the future, just because if he's having a great season, even seeing, you know, some big coverage and, you know, he's just taking a lot of that away from Lockett. You can see he's opening up targets, which, you know, Lockett's wide receiver 3. I think Metcalf's lower than that, but, you know, he's playing well. He's taking a lot of steps forward, even over last year where he showed some flashes.
Wait,
I mean, just going back to discuss the efficiency thing you brought up, Ben, he's doing excellently across the board, just in terms of like a variety of statistics. Look at pass plays per game, number 9, air yards, number 6, 122.7 per game, air yard share, number 7, 38.1. Average target distance, 16.7, number 5. Deep targets, 15, number 3. If we look at his yards after catch, he's got 357, number 8. But his efficiency, yards per route, it's not that great, number 23, but 2.2. Yards per reception, he's the number 1 in the league. 21.6 yards per reception, number 1.
21.6 yards per reception. The guy's a monster. Yeah.
Yards per target, 11.8. Number 8.
You know,
he's more efficient on the ground than even when he's been throwing the ball. He's such a beast.
I mean, if you've seen his muscles, you definitely don't want to be the person to try and have to tackle him first.
I'd run away. I'd leave him. You've got his touchdown, DK. Don't worry about it. Just remember this. If I ever intercept Russell Wilson, just remember this and don't break
the Derrick Henry of wide receivers.
Oh, no, he's the Aaron Donald of wide receivers.
But if you look at his workout method coming out of college, like it just speaks to what you're seeing now.
I mean, yeah,
he was 99th percentile 40-yard dash, 99th percentile speed score, 97th burst score, and his catch radius is 91st. He's an absolute beast. He really is.
And I know everybody was concerned about his cone drills, which is why he has a 4th percentile agility score. But first of all, he doesn't need that. Right? He's the big body guy. He's the fast guy. He's both of them combined. It's obscene. And also, he's improved so much on his route running.
Agreed. No, I'm very pleased he's on the Seahawks.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit jealous, but, you know, not that jealous. Mapletron is cool.
What's
who have you got? And, who have you got, John?
And the guy I've been impressed with this season is James Conner. James Conner is the RB12 this season. You know, he's a little bit low there. But in terms of having on your fantasy team, he said one game under 11 points. That was week one. 2.7, I believe that was when he was injured, and I went, oh, for fuck's sake, here goes my fantasy football team again. But here goes my running back again. But he's had one game under 11 points. He's been really, really tremendous, apart from, obviously, the weeks he's been off. But we're not going to discuss that, are we? I don't want to discuss that. Let me just get his numbers up here. 19.1, 22.9, 13.8, 16.7, 11.6, all since that week one game against the Giants. he's turning to, you know, the big discussion was, and we were talking about injuries earlier, is you can't predict injuries. But James Conner is, and well, I hate this term, he is kind of injury prone. He ends up injured a lot. So I'm happy to get 5 good weeks here for him. And I'm hoping for more.
I agree. But I think his stats are a little bit pumped up by a few breakaway runs. So he's had 4 big runs, which is the fifth in the league. So he's had 4 big ones which have stepped up his stats. Actually, if you look at his true yards per carry, they're only 4.4, which, you know, it's pretty good, but it's the RB23. So if you combine that with the injury risk that you've got associated with him, and actually how good Benny Snell's looked when he's stepped in. I think he's run well. He's not always been the most productive, but I think he's looked good when he's stepped in.
At least James Conner can get off those big runs. Benny Snell has to be one of the slowest people I've ever seen with the football.
He's looked better than I expected when he's come in.
He looks like Tom Brady running.
Matt Ryan.
He looks so unorthodox. It's almost painful. It's cringy to watch Benny Snell go.
You know, James Conner has been impressive this year. You know, I think a lot of people were starting to look for the other options in that offense, thinking it would be Benny Snell. I like Jalen Samuels. You know, you can kind of take your pick. Who do they have? McFarland. You know, everybody was looking for what the next option was, not thinking that James Conner was going to come back and play this well. And I think he's shown that he's still sticking around, and he's got potential for at least a few more seasons, you know, if not just finishing out this one strong. I mean, he's running back 15 right now. There's no reason why he can't keep that or improve. But you know, you mentioned his injury histories, and I believe Player Profiler had, you know, they started to compile some potential injury metrics, and he was one of the most fragile running backs in the game. So it could be hit or miss. You know, he could lose his job because of injury, because there's a lot of talent there. But in terms of this year, he's playing way better than I expected.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually been a pleasure to watch him play as well. Usually it's kind of uncomfortable watching James Conner.
I still don't have him as a top premium running back. I just would always be selling him. Maybe I'm wrong in that, but I just
I would be too, but no one wants to buy him. Everyone wants to sell him. So I'm stuck. It's like Tyler Lockett. No one wants to buy Tyler Lockett.
It depends what the selling price is. You know, if you're paying any sort of first for him, you're probably not interested. But if you can get him for an early second and, like, you know, maybe a handcuff running back or a third down back, you know, maybe you're interested depending on how good your team is. You'd have to be kind of trying to compete. But, you know, just throwing it out there, if James Conner was available for a team I might have competing and I had to offer like a second and, you know, Tariq Cohen or something like that, I'd probably do it. That might be low, but.
That is quite low. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about, though, is that, you know, he's always undervalued because of that, you know, that potential injury. But I am not willing to sell him because when he's healthy, he's good.
I think that's the point, though, isn't it? So I got into an argument. It was another one of my favourite internet arguments with some douchebag on Sleeper who just went off on one because I wouldn't offer him a first for James Conner, even though he had him on the block. And I was just like, well, I'll give you a second, but you know, I just don't think he's worth the first round pick.
I agree. That's going to be the key. You know, if they're selling, you have to see what they're selling for. You know, there will be somebody who feels the same way we do and will sell him for a lesser price. But the people who, you know, people are still hoping to get good value for him, you've missed your chance.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know. I've essentially got him until he injures himself out of the league. I'm aware of this. There's also that kind of that Homer, that Homer inflation of the praise, because he's obviously a Steelers running back,
and that's why he'll die on your team.
Yeah, You know, he will have a gentle funeral on my team, a respectable funeral.
Is that what happened to Lev Bell?
side note, did you guys see the video Lev Bell put up on his Facebook channel, YouTube channel, sorry? It was like Lev Bell's best career highlight, 2013 to 2017. I'm like, you're injured two of those years. Another 2 years of that, you're on the fucking Jets. You don't have a highlight reel.
He probably had more highlight reels injured than on the Jets.
Ew, yeah.
The Jets Lev Bell was rough.
I don't remember when we first started this league up. I drafted Lev Bell top five or whatever it was. And then I'd started trying to ship him out, and I traded Lev Bell to someone. Lev Bell and Demaryius Thomas for Todd Gurley on the year that Todd Gurley just absolutely blew up. And then Lev Bell was traded away. Demaryius Thomas was traded and then disappeared. I'm like, oh my God, I skimmed this boy and I have no idea how that happened.
It'd be interesting to see what he does in the Chiefs, but Edwards-Helaire looks really good. So
if he could get in the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anyone else that's impressed you guys this year?
I'm going to go to I gave you a running back. I'm going to give you a wide receiver. One that I have liked in previous years, but I think it's just insane how crazy he's doing. And that's Carolina wide receiver Robbie Anderson. I've been on the DJ Moore hype train, who is also having a great year. But Robbie Anderson, just surprisingly, I didn't think he would fit very well with Bridgewater's playing style. I've said that previously. I said him and Samuel, I thought, were kind of going to be more deep ball wide receivers, and DJ Moore would just get all the targets. But I was wrong, because Robbie Anderson has like 18 more targets than DJ Moore. He's put up about 60 more yards, so DJ's maybe making the big plays, and Anderson's not really getting the touchdowns, but he has just come out and put up a huge year. You know, we knew he had talent, but who thought that it would, it would really translate this quick?
He's been a monster, hasn't he? Oh. I took him in a couple of leagues, and I've been so pleased. In fact, actually, I was trying to use him as trade bait in just before the season, and I'm glad I didn't. Or no one wanted him, really, because he's been an absolute beast. He's been one of my most dependable wide receivers in a couple of leagues, which is a surprise.
Yeah, I thought he was honestly just a target hog up with the Jets. I think, I thought he was an athlete and really mostly a speedster, but it just translated because the Jets had the opportunity to give him so many touches. But that's obviously not the case. He's got great hands. He's, his value probably isn't where his numbers are at. You might be able to still get him cheaper, because I don't know if people realize really how well he is playing. But he's just insane right now. I don't have his efficiencies pulled up. I'm sure John's pulling that up right now, but pure number wise, just in terms of how he's scoring, it's an impressive, and it seems to be weekly and not just large games.
Yeah, I mean, was he the number five wide receiver? Like, number five wide receiver, you don't get there by having two big games, really, do you? This is week 6-7.
You do if you're Chase Claypool.
Even if you're Chase Claypool, it happens. I don't want to hear about it though.
I mean, Robbie Anderson's number two in receiving yards, so he's clearly lacking a little bit in touchdowns, but I mean, he's got one, so it just shows that he's not being targeted in the end zone, but really going down the field acting as that deep threat. His speed is just it's really what the Panthers need.
Do they need more speed, though? That's kind of a question, and it's why I was a little bit hesitant about Robbie Anderson when he was first traded for or picked up. I can't remember what it was. But do they need more speed? And obviously, Robbie Anderson's filling more of a general wide receiver role, and he's doing an excellent job. But they had Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, and now Robbie Anderson, who are all extremely fast guys. I mean, there's enough contention there between DJ Moore and and Curtis Samuel the past 2 years or whatever it was about who was the deep threat. And now you've thrown Robbie Anderson in there.
I mean, I think it's, you know, this is similar to, you listen to Matt Rhule, and they talked about this a little bit in the last Carolina game against the Falcons, but Bridgewater saying, you know, that Breeze focuses on just getting completions, just get the ball in somebody's hands and get completions. And I think what we're seeing here is not, not taking shots or really worrying about it too much, but just getting the balls in the wide receiver's hands and letting them make plays and letting them do what they can and use that speed. Cause really, if you can't catch it, and you can't get it in their hands, that speed doesn't matter as much. So I think that's what you're seeing is just capitalizing on that, getting the ball in your receiver's hands and letting them play football.
Yeah. I mean, there's no real issue with having three fast guys in your team, especially when, you know, one of them, Robbie Anderson, then can do a lot of it.
What's interesting though, is that you'd think with all that speed, they'd be stretching the field and leaving loads of room for Ian Thomas underneath. But I don't know. Having watched Carolina on Thursday night, I didn't see a huge amount of tight end play. Did you?
Ian Thomas is breaking my heart every week. I'm not saying I don't believe, but no, I think, you know, you've seen a lot of three wide receiver sets, it looked like, you know, are really not a lot of big tight end plays, which is scary for people like me who believed in Ian Thomas for so long, because he already had low value and now it seems he's got almost nothing with them just ignoring him.
I mean, he was one of the players I targeted. In fact, I don't think I was able to pick him up anywhere over the offseason. Just because I think there were so many people who did believe, particularly with Bridgewater and his sort of history of low air yards per attempt. But yeah, it's not working out that way.
Nope. And now, you know, and that's really honestly with the first couple of weeks, that was with Curtis Samuel being hurt or not playing. And now you've got to deal with that too. Cause really, even though he had a big game Thursday, you know, he really hasn't been around much of the season. So you got to see how that plays out. That's just another, you know, just another cog for them to use.
Ben, who have you got that's also impressed you this season?
Well, I had two Falcons players. We can talk about them both. I had Calvin Ridley. I think he's wide receiver one overall.
He is on sleeper.
He's been an absolute beast this season. I know Jones has been out a little. And I know he's got a bit of a knock on his foot on Thursday. So we'll have to see how that goes. But the other player was Hayden Hurst, who I know I've banged on about, you know, maybe our first or second podcast together. He really has performed. He looks like the athletic threat that I thought he'd be. And he's taking a number of targets. So he looks like a good step in or step up candidate to replace Austin Hooper.
Absolutely. We did discuss that target vacancy, the target vacuum when Hayden Hurst was going there. And he started off slow. I believe he's picked up since then.
He has.
You know, one thing that's really benefited that.
Yeah, he's definitely getting into a good starting tight end.
Sorry, I was just saying, one thing you really see that's benefited that is just how bad that Atlanta defense has been. Because, you know, really, if they were leading games, you probably wouldn't see as many targets available. And I know that there is still a void that Hooper left, but man, their defense being that bad has just allowed for them to just pass, you know, 70% of games, it seems like, and just really everyone in that offense is scoring points.
Yeah. When the Falcons have such a consistency in throwing games at the very end, right, that would imply that they are in competition and possibly ahead, as they have been a few times. They have a good offense. They have a great offense. And this poor defense, which is certainly not helping with these choking situations, is a detriment to an actual NFL team, but very advantageous to the wide receiver in the offense.
Yes.
So,
yeah. I mean, no, I think you absolutely killed it. I don't know if it, there's really much more to say than that, because it absolutely is just a huge benefit.
Speaking about teams with speedsters and awful defenses that need to throw the ball, let's talk about Texans and how that situation in Houston is really benefiting Will Fuller, who, according to Sleeper, is the wide receiver 10. Will Fuller has been phenomenal this year. He's been exactly what we're wanting from Will Fuller when he was drafted 4 years ago. He was out for 1 week, and in the rest of those weeks, he's had one game below 13 points, and that was an 11-point game. Will Fuller is an extraordinary player, and we're finally getting to see him when he's actually healthy.
Well, you know, their offense has been absolutely, I mean, it's benefited that they've been a bad team and not winning as many, you know, have they won any games yet? I think they're maybe one. They're not a good team. And he's benefited from having a great quarterback on a bad team. But, you know, we knew he had talent, because even when Hopkins was there, you know, there was times where they were both scoring 20-plus points a game. And he had that season where he had a streak of, like, six games straight with a touchdown. So he can, you know, when he gets opportunities, he can play. It's just about staying healthy. That's really been his Achilles heel. It's just he can't stay healthy and stay on the field. So if he can put this full season together, I think we're going to see a little spike in his value if they don't trade him.
Absolutely. He's now at a 6-touchdown streak. So, you know, there's consistency there. There's the yardage, opportunities. And, wow. Oh, sorry. Oh, never mind. I saw a stat on Sleeper. It was like, start 12%. I'm like, how is only 12% of people starting them? This is bye week. 12% of people?
Those
are
people really, yeah, those people really believe if 12% of people are starting him on his bye week.
Yeah, they're really hoping he gets that 7-week consecutive touchdown.
I think how his stats really speak to how disappointing Brandon Cooks has been. You know, he's had one big week where he got 30 points. Below that, other than that, you have one, his next best was 22 points. Everything else has been below 15. And 1 week of 4, 1 week of 5, one week of 0. And I think he's just not the same player as he was. I love Brandon Cooks when he was firing on all cylinders at the Rams, but he's just not doing it, is he?
Not at all. And another one to kind of put in there, and I don't see him in anybody's, you know, conversation list, Kenny Stills. I believe there was a good bit of hype around Kenny Stills, and again, he is poor. I mean, one game over 10 points, it's 10.9. Other than that, the highest game he's had was 5 points on the dot.
I think, you know, Kenny Stills, I believe for most of it, is usually a slot wide receiver. And I think we're seeing Randall Cobb start to kind of take a lot of those snaps and take that role, maybe more than expected given his age and now, you know, being new to the team. But you know, I think Brandon Cooks is the shocking one, and he's definitely, you know, I have him on my team, and I would move him for so cheap, honestly, and I would have before the season just because he's not the same players. And honestly, with all those concussions, there's big concerns for his health. So
you're bang on about Randall Cobb. I mean, Kenny Stills is seeing a snap share of about 36-37%. So he's just not seeing the field. It's an interesting offense, the Texans, but I don't think we'll have to think about them too much for the rest of the season. They're hardly going to be playing relevant football.
There is some trade rumors going on that Kenny Stills could be moved for a later pick, so that might make him interesting. But it really doesn't do a whole lot for much, for really anybody else. I think it'll be interesting to see if Fuller's still there given this time next year.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to our next topic, players that we are disappointed in so far in the season. Ben, would you like to kick us off, please?
Yes, Matt Breida. I hate him. I hate him. He's upset me. No, we talked about him. Let's go with Mustache Minshew. Fantasy-wise, he's not too bad. But I can't see him staying in his role.
Of quarterback.
What do you think?
Yeah, they may move him to the cornerback. Who knows?
there's some rumors. I think a report just came out the other day that he has either a torn ligament or several fractures in his thumb, which would, obviously that's going to affect really how you can throw the football to a certain extent. I'm not going to speculate what extent that is. But that's going to affect the way you can throw the football. And, you know, his wide receivers are actually having okay years fantasy wise, but, they don't have any allegiance to him. So if they moved on, they might as well do it when they're expecting to have a bad year and try and find a quarterback in this draft that seems to have a couple first round worthy QBs. So it wouldn't surprise me. I was hoping for big things. I was starting to be a believer and trying to buy him low. But it seems like it's a good move to not have him.
Ben shouldn't be bad, though. From a fantasy standpoint, he's had, one dud game, 9.2 against the Dolphins, of all people. But, he's number 14 quarterback in the season. He's not being bad.
I think there's a part of that, though, where you have to speculate that quarterback play, while it can still be pretty decent for fantasy, if it's not holding up to, up to par in the NFL, or really if they're not playing to expectations, that, that can go from, he can go from a starting QB getting 20 points a game to a zeros real quick. And I think that's a part of it here.
Well, look,
yeah, I know that fantasy stats don't equivalent to NFL success. We all play fantasy football. We're aware of that, but I mean, I haven't watched a lot of Jags games, so perhaps someone can key me on whether these losses that he has are on him or if it's been on the team as a whole.
He can't make it happen. He can't pull out the big play when they need him to, basically, right. Is what's happening. He can move the ball reasonably well down the field. They've got a good pick up in the draft on the running back, but Minshew cannot make that big play when the chips are down, basically.
He's simply not clutch.
I hate that, but yes.
That was a very clutch out there, Ben.
Well, I mean, if we want to talk about his stats, he's 13 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, which are good numbers. I'll give him that. You're usually looking for QB who weren't turned the ball over. His completion percentage is 66%. His average yards per pass attempt is 6.9. So it's okay. They're all really the touchdown interception ratio is probably the best part. You have to kind of decide right now, is this QB the future? Do you look for something else? But really, his numbers are great. You'd like to see a little better this far into the season, but his numbers are okay.
Can you say that after a year and a half, though?
I think I you have no allegiance to him. What round pick was he, or was he even drafted? I can't remember.
He was a sixth.
He was like a fifth or sixth.
Yeah, so you've got no allegiance to him. You have to he's probably signed to a 3 or 4 year deal. You've got a lot of good QBs coming up in this draft, and you're not a good team. So you have nothing to hold you back from drafting a QB if you don't see something that gives you that future.
I appreciate there's no allegiance to him. He's on a rookie contract. Who cares? But we have seen him be really good. He is not without hope. Season and a half. We've seen a season and a half from him, and he has been good. He's got the respect of the team, the offense. He does have the abilities and the skills to lead the team. He might not be having that right now, but there maybe is a certain amount of experience that when he's played a few more games and whatnot, that will come to him. But a season and a half, I think, it's not like Josh Rosen bad. Certainly, it's not even close to that. I don't know. I'm not entirely convinced that they should give up on him right now.
Okay, related question then. What do you think about Sam Darnold?
Dwayne Haskins.
Sam Darnold's had, what is he in? Year
three, that's, I mean, he's had some injuries. He was out with, he missed most of last year with, or a decent amount of last year with mono. So, you know, really about two seasons, two and a half.
Okay, that's two and a half seasons then. And he has that little mark against him of Adam Gase.
But they're likely to have the number one overall pick, aren't they? They're terrible. The Jets are just garbage.
Yeah, but if you could swap that number one pick for a decent coach, I would do that all day and see what happens with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold similarly has the skills to be good, but he's stuck under Adam Gase. Look at Tannehill.
No, I agree. I think it's a fascinating question to see what Jets actually do because, you know, Tank for Trevor and all that sort of stuff. It will be interesting to you know, will they have the balls to hang on to Darnold, pay him, or do they blow it all up and take the high ceiling rookie who's meant to be going into Canton and all that sort of stuff based on his college play, you know?
Trevor Lawrence isn't even good enough to withstand two seasons Adam Gase. Trevor Lawrence will crumble just like any other new...
Well, Gase won't be there.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
You've seen how dysfunctional the Jets are.
Yeah, I don't think Gase will be there either. I think the Jets are dysfunctional. And, I think it's coach speak right now because I don't see the benefit of really switching halfway through the season unless you feel like the person who's going to take over is on the roster in terms of coaching staff. So I'd say let them play out the season. You're not going to get any better. And then you blow it up after the season or near the end of the season.
Including Darnold?
I like Darnold, but he was supposed to be somebody who continues to improve, and I'm not sure we're seeing that. I think you play out his rookie contract. I don't think you draft a new QB just yet. Trade back, get more assets. You have holes that you need to fill. But I wouldn't get rid of Darnold just yet. No, I think he's on the team next year, and I think he's the starting QB.
I mean, I like him as well. I really think he needs to be seen with another coach. But it's a depressing state of affairs over there. It really is.
I'm glad I'm not a Jets fan.
We can agree on that.
Dustin, who has disappointed you this season?
I'm going to go with somebody who, he was a middle round rookie pick. Cam Akers, middle of the first round rookie good pick. Idea, and man. Everybody, I think a lot of people expected him to take the job pretty early. We knew that there was some Darrell Henderson hype the year before, but when he never fired or truly fired, I think everybody just kind of thought that this was really going to be somebody who had a path to taking touches right away. And really early on in the season, the first game, he started getting starter touches. It looked as if he was going to fulfill that expectations, but then an injury has kind of been holding him back ever since. He really can't seem to get his touches in the rotation. It's not where we expected him to be this far into the season. We expected him to at least be like a 50-50 split. And he's lucky to get 10 touches, it seems like, if that.
Yeah, he's not in favor, is he?
Not at all. Not right now with the coaching staff.
And it's weird. Sean McVay's... usually, I would say that Sean McVay has a great eye for football. Very talented, obviously. But I don't know what happened last year where he, with Darrell Henderson. Darrell Henderson was an outstanding prospect. And then they kind of played him a little bit, but played him in the kind of poor opportunity plays to waste time. He didn't really get any stats, didn't have the opportunity to really showcase. So then he was sidelined. And then this year it's Malcolm Brown, who's an awful football player, and Darrell Henderson, who's... they're still not giving them the opportunities to flash. And then they drafted Cam Akers. And just from Todd Gurley 3 years ago to this, how has this running back room devolved into chaos and misery so rapidly?
I just don't think he wants to get tied to one star running back again. It absolutely ruined his team.
Salary cap. But they don't seem to be using anyone there effectively.
Yeah, just looking, it's Akers has got 18% of the snaps. Henderson's got about 38. So, you know, it is, there's a favoured option, but there's, you know, it is very much by committee. Which is what
I mean, it's not even like it's a San Francisco committee where everyone's going to benefit from it because they're going to run and pound all of them. It's just miserable trying to bet on any single Rams running back.
But I think that just shows how good San Francisco's running schemes are, though.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Shanahan's also an outstanding coach with the great eye for football, obviously. But this, I don't know. It's an unusual situation that's happening in these two almost comparable teams, coaches.
Who have you got, John?
The guy I am disappointed in this year is Cooper Kupp.
Good call.
Cooper Kupp, my absolute darling last year. I adored him. I tell you. He is absolutely miserable. He's ranked number 23. He's had two games over 10 points. One was obviously 10 points, you can't complain. 21.2 and 15.2. Next highest after that was 9.1, 8.9, 9.5. It's just, you know, he was supposed to be one of my best dynasty assets, supposed to be my wide receiver too. And I know everybody who drafted Cooper Kupp has held him this long, traded for him even. We're not expecting it to be this bad.
It's kind of a reverse from what I expected from him. I thought last year coming off the ACL was going to be a down year for him. I thought he would struggle, and really he came out hot. And now maybe we're seeing some long-term after effects. But, it's really surprising to see Cooper Kupp struggle this much. I really didn't foresee this. I expected him to be the number one Rams wide receiver with Robert Woods playing, you know, kind of second fiddle. And then I was really hoping Josh Reynolds would slot in for the third spot. But it's been bad. You know, he's floating around wide receiver 23. He's got about 400 yards and two touchdowns, it looks like. So really just he's not getting in the end zone, only 37 catches, which isn't bad. But, you know, you'd like to see more targets for him because I don't see – you know, I think he can make some big plays, but you'd like to see the touchdowns and you'd like to see the targets increase. That's for sure.
I mean, just watching the film, like, he and Goff just seem off. I don't know what it is. Can't quite put my finger on it. But they just don't seem to have the same relationship as they did in previous seasons. It's bizarre. It just seems to have changed overnight or over the off-season.
What's unusual about the Rams, though, is it's not just Cooper Kupp. I had the number one Rams receiver. It's not just Cooper Kupp who's been affected by this. They don't have a wide receiver in the top 20. You know, they got Kupp at 23, Woods at 21, Van Jefferson in the 60s. Josh Reynolds in the 60s. Tyler Higbee's the tight end 13. So what? Pass attempt 17th, pass yards 13th, pass TDs 14th. Who the fuck is catching the balls?
I think the answer is really they are probably the epitome of like a very, very balanced offense where all their, you know, most of their pieces, you know, they're running back by committee. The wide receivers, nobody's really taking the lead. You know, 21 and 23rd isn't bad for wide receiver. It's just disappointing for Kupp based on expectations. But they are balanced. Everybody's getting opportunities. Everybody's getting a little bit of touches, and it just kills us as fantasy owners.
And then you look at the running backs. You were saying about Cam Akers, right? Darrell Henderson is the highest rated running back they have, number 22. I don't believe that this is happening.
But also, you know, they're not brilliant. They're not a brilliant team. They're probably the worst team in the NFC West, which admittedly is the best division in football. But still, they're better than all of the bloody NFC East. But still,
It's just disappointing. This team was a gold mine 3 years ago, and it feels like people are still, and me included, we're still buying in them this year, and they have absolutely denied us the pleasures of the Sean McVay offense this year.
It sounds like you're taking the piss from me, John.
Cooper Cup, I miss you.
Can I just throw another one in there really quickly?
Absolutely.
It's actually one that Dustin brought up. It's Evan Ingram. He is a heartbreaker. He has been shocking. That drop pass in the last Giants game after the ridiculous long run by Daniel Jones and then tripping over his own leg. If Evan Ingram had caught that pass afterwards, no one would be talking about that because they'd have won the game. As it is, he's mugged his quarterback right off and it just bounced off his hands. Like, it's a season ruining drop, that, and he has been terrible.
I mean, we knew Barkley going down was going to hurt the Giants' potential to really have a good season, and that, you know, that was fine. We accepted that, but if there was a couple of things that I was thinking you could count on with Barkley's injury, it's that Darius Slayton would have a good year, and he is wide receiver 28. But I thought you would just see Evan Ingram start to get a ton of targets, and really, you know, his issue has been staying healthy in previous years, but this year it's scoring points because he's tight end 17 in standard leagues. So I mean, it's bad. He's getting some targets. He's got 26 receptions, but you know, I thought, as soon as Barkley went down, I thought you could easily lock him into a top 10 tight end.
Agreed. And if you go back to the preseason, you know, rankings with, you know, the so-called experts who clearly know less than us, you know, they had him, there were people sort of arguing, well, is he the tight end 3 or is Mark Andrews the tight end 3? And actually, if you compare the two, there's just no question.
I would take Mark Andrews over him even before the season. But, you know, yeah, top 5, especially if you told me Barkley was down, there's no way I would have had him outside the top 5. But
yeah, Giants are a miserable pit of shit all over. Is there any players that you guys are expecting big things from in the second half of the season?
DJ Chark, do-do-do-do-do-do, DJ Chark, do-do-do-do-do-do. Nah.
Is that including all the slagging off of Gardner Minshew you've done?
Look, I still am a big fan of Gardner. I think he has the potential to be an NFL QB, even though, like I said, my concern is that he won't get the fair shake because I think he has the talent. I think he's playing okay. I think he could be playing a lot better and expected him to kind of take a step forward. You know, if this is his sophomore slump, then we're going to be in a great spot. But, you know, I think that DJ Chark, we talked to you, you kind of let off the show talking about air yards. And I just want to be like, DJ Chark, like, let's talk about DJ Chark because he's getting a lot of opportunity, a lot of air yards. The reason, you know, he maybe doesn't have as much fantasy points as expected is injuries. And so he hasn't quite had the opportunities, but I'm buying into DJ Chark still being a very, very talented wide receiver. And I think you could probably, I would try and acquire him right now if you haven't, because I don't think his value has hit its peak yet. I think it's probably at a little dip due to the injury. So I'd acquire him. The air yards are there. He's going to get targets. Laviska Shenault's going to fit in as the wide receiver 2 here soon, but that's going to be a good young wide receiver for core for whoever's the quarterback.
Yeah, DJ Chark and DJ Moore are 2 very young statistical superstars. And the hype with DJ Moore's kind of kicked off, been hampered a little bit by Robbie Anderson. But DJ Chark is yet to blow up enough that he has reached his should-be price tag.
I'm not sure he's there yet, but I think he could approach it. I think with a couple of good games, he'll approach it very quickly.
That's what I'm saying. Is like he's not quite hit the point where his price tag is matching with what his value actually is. So, you know, if anybody is actually looking to buy that young wide receiver, anybody, listeners out there, do it now.
I mean, if you need motivation, go look at his player profile chart. Just look at his workout metrics, and it's 98th percentile 40-yard dash, 96th percentile speed score, 93rd percentile burst score. He doesn't have the agility or the catch radius, but all you really need to know is that for the catch radius, he's 6'3". So he's going to have a big catch radius. And as we kind of talked about with DK Metcalf, agility really doesn't have to be the most important telling metric for a wide receiver. So yeah, go get him. He's 24. I mean, it's big upside for him.
I have his and DK Metcalf's player profilers taped to my bedroom wall. You know, when I need to get things steamy and exciting, I have a quick glance at DJ Chark's metrics, and away I go.
That's a little insight to John's life there.
It's sad, it's lonely. I'm happy with it, though.
I was going to talk about Justin Jefferson.
Please don't. You know, you can skip it. You can skip it. You don't have to talk about Justin Jefferson.
You're not a fan?
Not anymore.
What?
He's been a... I don't know.
How can you not be a fan? He is having a fantastic rookie season.
I guess I'm just a little bit unsure with Cousins right now.
You don't have to like Cousins to like Jefferson. Jefferson is having a great season. I mean, really, that stepped in. Everything Laquan Treadwell should have been, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's already, matched Laquan Treadmill and Treadmill. He's already matched what he managed in, you know, 50 games, I believe it was, in 6 weeks.
So, Ben, tell us why you like him. Let's make John sad.
I mean, he looks like a really special player. Just watching him, he's doing things that you just don't see often out of a rookie wide receiver. His workout metrics are pretty good, but just, I mean, he's number 16 overall wide receiver for points. And the fact that he's getting that out of Kirk Cousins, who I heard today is actually on target to meet to match the Jameis Winston 30-30 target.
Holy shit.
Touchdowns and interceptions. You know, the fact, except at far less in terms of fantasy points. The fact he's getting these sort of stats out of him and with Adam Thielen on the team, someone was trying to get me involved in a trade. I would be interested to hear what you guys think about this. So it was a three-way trade. I've got one guy who's got Jefferson. He wants two firsts for him. This is a 32-man team, so draft picks are less valuable. Sorry, 32-man league. So he wants two firsts for him. And my team's not great. I took on a pretty poor team. I invested in people like Joe Mixon, who's been a complete letdown. And so he was the middle guy was getting Justin Jefferson, and I was offered AJ Brown for my two firsts. So who would you take? Would you take Brown or would you take Jefferson for the two firsts?
Brown, personally.
Yep, I'm on board. I'd take Brown, too.
I think I agree. It's a salary cap league and there's all that sort of stuff to consider. But because then you get extra years of sort of a rookie contract on Justin Jefferson. So that was my only pause for thought. But I think I would take Brown. So that's still hanging around, that trade, but I haven't gone for it. But anyway, I think Justin Jefferson's a class act.
Good. On a little side note, I looked up Kirk Cousins there. 2020 so far, he has 11 TDs to 10 interceptions.
He's going to do it.
How many interceptions he had? 20. You remember his first year in Minnesota? Kind of rocky, right? Kind of rocky.
Yeah.
Do you remember how many interceptions he had in 2018?
I mean, his issue, I'll just throw that out there, but I feel like his issue as a quarterback is generically we say turnovers because he fumbles a lot for a quarterback. But I don't think interceptions are really a huge issue.
He's already matched his 2018 interceptions. He had 10 interceptions in 2018. He's got 10 already after 6-7 weeks.
He's a really odd guy. Like, he, some of the things that he sort of said, you can just see come out in his play. He sort of said, well, I need to go out and I need to take more risks and I need to do this, that and the other. But he's taking more risks, but he's throwing masses of interceptions to do it. He's a nutcase.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
John, who are you expecting big things out of?
I had it written down. This is going to be a little bit of an unusual one, right? Because it's not a guy, you know, who might even get a chance to play. But if he does, and I have a feeling he will, is Eno Benjamin. I don't even think he's a listener, but one of the guys in the league, Phantom Fox, I know he's a fan of Eno. So we know that Kenyon Drake has not been running well. I am not a big believer in Chase Edmonds. I mean, let's see. Kenyon Drake is who Ben Owens is the number 21 running back. He's not been doing particularly well. One game against Dallas, but that doesn't really count because they are bad. They're bad. Their defense is anyway. But Chase Edmonds on the year is kind of hovering around that 3-4 rushes a game. So in 2020, he's got 29 rushes for 176 yards, 6.1 yards per attempt, which is pretty good. Yards per game, 25.1. Chase Edmonds is the main block for Eno Benjamin getting in there and actually getting the carries, because Eno Benjamin was a fantastic prospect at Arizona.
Yeah, I think he's a little undersized for maybe a workhorse back, but, you know, to get him started halfway through the season and really see what you have, why not? You know, Kenyon Drake's having some issues. I think Chase Edmonds will end up being the leading carrier for the second half for them. But yeah, just see what you have in Eno. I mean, you got him late. He has some talent. He's shown flashes. You know, at least at the college level.
If Eno Benjamin is undersized, then Chase Edmonds is too, because they're both 5'9". Yeah, they both are. Well, I mean, 5'9", but Eno's 207, and Chase Edmonds is 210.
For a full NFL season workload, they are undersized. It's the weight a little bit more than it is, you know, anything else. But you know, it's half a season, so give them both chances. See what you got. You know, I think he could. I think at the very least, you could see some big plays and have him just get the ball in his hands.
Yeah, absolutely. And with when I was looking at something else earlier, actually, Kyler Murray is the number one quarterback in the season. He's like 30 points clear of the second highest. He's nearly at 200 points already. He's been an absolute superstar.
I think that was one. A lot of the experts are going to get correct this year. The hype for Kyler Murray was absolutely real.
May it be the only time in the past 5 years where they've got that highly touted quarterback actually right, because Baker has not managed that.
Don't give up on Baker just yet. But yeah, Kyler Murray he's absolutely living up to the hype and living up to expectations this season.
Yeah, and you know what it is? On top of that, it's so fun watching Baker Mayfield go.
You think it's fun watching him go?
Yeah, like play, run. You know, he's always watching that field. And, you know, he's in the pocket. He's looking around, trying to get his reads. And then, you know, something claps. He's a little bit slow on the shot, I believe. There seems to be that little hesitancy sometimes, which you can get away with if you're Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, because then he's got the legs to just run. And it's so entertaining watching him run down the field.
I just hate we have to deal with all the questions right now is if he's a better quarterback with OBJ out. And that's just, it's stupid.
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about Baker.
Come on. Baker's great. Kyler Murray is great too. Baker's going to get better. I think he's still having another rough year, but he'll get better. I'm not off the Baker train yet, but
he's looked really good in patches, certainly.
Better than Gardner Minshew.
Reminds you of someone else. Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, but this season, Gardner hasn't really looked that good this season.
I can't comment on that. I haven't watched a lot of Jags games. I mean, who watches a Jags game unless it's just there?
I watched the Thursday night game against the Dolphins. That was rough.
That was his 9.8.
Any Thursday night game is rough.
Yeah.
But yeah. Let's talk about, we're talking about players that'll take a step back. John can try and hate on Baker if he wants to. Let's talk about players that are going to take a little bit of a step back in the second half, or at least what we think compared to how they've been playing so far. And since I get to host this part of the segment now, John, why don't you go ahead?
Why am I starting?
Because you get to go last every time.
Players who are going to, not do as well in the second half. Yeah. I mean, off of public perception, I'm going to have to say Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool he's wide receiver 3 in that team.
All right, thank you for going first, John. Now, I'm actually going to go first, and it's Chase Claypool.
oh my God, so is
it. I wanted to say Claypool, thinking nobody else would take it, but thank you for ruining that, John. Just like you always do for fantasy for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely apologize.
But no, go ahead. I'm excited to see what you have to hear, because I know we had a conversation on this in the group chat the other day.
Yeah, Chase Claypool is a great athlete. Very fun to watch. He is not the wide receiver 1 or 2 as people seem to think they are. It's as much as people don't want to say it, as Juju and Deontay is 1 and 2. Deontay Johnson has been firing off. But Chase Claypool was so big-bodied that he's getting these poor mismatches, and it's just ruining the defensive backs. And that's who's getting these big plays. He's getting these easy touchdowns. He can get those catches that, he's over in the sideline. It's a little bit longer for Ben to throw, and Ben's not been good. I believe he's number 32 in successful deep ball throws this season. He's not been good down the field, and, when you're throwing it down the field, you want the big bastard down there catching the ball. And that's exactly what Chase Claypool's doing. He's catching those hard-to-catch balls, therefore getting a lot of yards, and he's making it look better. He's not going to continue with this success that he's had so far, I don't believe.
I mean, I'll jump on it. I think that if he continues to see the same amount of workload and the same amount of targets, there's no way he continues the success. I think the hype and the profile he has could continue to have success, but they have to change how many touches they're giving him in the game plan. I think that's really, I think that's what's going to be what needs to happen to really unlock him. I just don't think that they're going to do that this season. Which is why I think that he's going to disappoint a lot of owners who see those big numbers and think that he's the next big thing in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was looking at his where was it? Yeah, yards per reception. Yards per reception is 18.5 yards per reception. That's number 6 in the league, right? And exactly what I was saying before is yards after catch is 60th in the league.
I mean, and you recognize he had what, 4 touchdowns in 1 game, which means that, more than likely his touchdowns are going to taper off in the second half too. You're not going to see that again. More than likely. I won't say it'll never happen again, but you probably won't see him put up another 4 touchdowns
That might be the best game of his career.
It really could be.
It may well be. Imagine it all going downhill from here. How miserable would that be? But it's exactly what you I believe it was you that was saying before, Dustin. He's just so hyper-efficient.
But they've got to regress. I mean, really, either you're going to be an all-time great and always play that hyper-efficient, and, you know, but really the reality is he's going to regress closer to the mean. And it doesn't mean he has to be a bad wide receiver by any means, but it means that he's probably going to come back down to reality.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy that if he continues in his current opportunities, he's not going to be very fun to have on your team. Ben, who do you think will be disappointing you in the next half of the season?
I'm going to go CD Lamb.
CD Lamb? Like the top, a number top 10 wide receiver on the year so far?
I think he's in the, what is he? He's 19.
19, sorry. 19,
yeah,
oh,
he's 19. Yeah.
There's only 10 out.
No, I think he's going to regress. I still think he's a good asset to have, and I think actually people might get a steal on him at the end of the season. And this is 100% because they've got no quarterback at all.
Are you saying you do not believe in Ben DiNucci?
DiNucci. No, I don't. Although he made one throw, you know, that was okay. But and he was, to be
was
fair,
it a completion?
He was better than Dalton, who I picked up as a replacement for Dak and was useless.
I did the exact same thing in a league, and that was absolutely miserable.
You think from the however many years he's been with the Bengals, you would have
known
that
he'd had a top 10, maybe even a top 5 fantasy year as a quarterback for the Bengals. Yeah, I mean, but he's proven that he could do it.
And he had much better weapons.
Yes.
At Dallas. That was my thought. But I was much better to go with Bridgewater. But that was, I mean, that was the only reason I lost to the Supervisors.
Man, the Supervisors, what a good team. They sound like they have a very competent owner who's probably an expert.
I mean, we're all experts.
If you listen to his podcast, you might get some good advice.
Shut up, man. You're absolutely derailing this thing.
So I could see that. I could see him just, you know, with the way Dalton's playing, and really, you know, I think there's some hype for Fitzmagic, but it doesn't change it, in my opinion, with where you're heading with this, is that any QB that I get right now, I don't think CD is going to be one of the focal points, and he's going to drop off.
Yeah.
Well, how do you guys feel about Michael Gallup in the same vein?
I wouldn't trust anybody. Well, I think it depends who ends up the wide receiver one, but I think it's still Amari. So I would say outside of Amari, I wouldn't play anybody for a couple of weeks until you see what's going to happen.
Yeah, agreed. Unless, like me, you're stuck with just an injury-ravaged mess of a team.
We can expect in the inverse, though, to Zeke kind of pop off these next few weeks, right?
You can.
We didn't with Dalton, did
we? Teams can target the run a little more, I think, is what you expect.
Does anybody have the numbers of Dalton's pass attempts?
It wasn't good. I mean, he I think he attempted a decent amount, but
So they had Dalton, and they thought, okay, this is a qualified quarterback. You know, we'll let him throw the ball, and he did poorly, right?
Yeah, I mean,
but if they've got this Ben DiNucci, who, I mean, I'd never heard of him before. He threw one pass, like he says. Can we be expecting the Cowboys really to be passing as much as they usually do, or do we expect them to be running?
So I'll say DiNucci's not going to be. He's not going to be good. It's not trying to you know, discount him or anything like that. He was a late round pick out of a FCS school. So, you know, he won I think he won a national championship as a quarterback at that level. So he's had some success in his college career. I'm not going to give him no credit, but I don't know. You know, he was like the sixth rounder, so there's not a lot of faith in him. Dalton against the Cardinals went 34 for 54, 63% completion, one touchdown, two picks. And then against Washington, he was 9 for 19, 75 yards, 47% completion, zero touchdowns, one interception. And I think the other thing you have to think about is the Cowboy offensive line is not what it used to be a couple of years ago, where it was, you know, Tyron Smith and Lael Collins, Travis Frederick just destroying, giving Zeke huge running lanes. It's hurt. Players have retired. So I think the Dallas Cowboys offense is going to be a train wreck.
That's a shame, because I know we were discussing at the beginning of the season how dangerous Dallas looked.
And they were?
They were. But now that truly has all gone to shit, hasn't it?
It's not what we expected, to say the least.
Big sad all around. Rip the potential Cowboys. It's never nice to watch.
Should we pick the mood up again and talk about some trades?
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to mute myself, cry softly over Dak Prescott, and then we'll get back to it. some potential trades. Dustin, you want to kick us off?
So, you know, I figured it'd be nice to talk about what we've done recently, just, you know, between a couple of our leagues. You know, I'll actually talk about one that I just did right before the podcast started that fit in well with who I was talking about having a big season. And in our league, I just got DJ Chark for Denzel Mims and a 2021 second, which right now projects to be late, which is even better. So, you know, Logan's kind of a younger, he's still got a younger team. He's had a good season, but he's rebuilding. But I think that's an absolute steal for Chark. And that was exciting.
Yeah.
I do.
Absolutely. I mentioned it before about DJ Chark and DJ Moore being those two young elite statistical superstars with the lower price tags that haven't caught up to, you know, their actual ability and stats. This is an example of you capitalizing on that lower price tag. You're able to get DJ Chark for Mims in a second.
And I like Mims, but I think Chark is just, he's a premium asset right now. So it makes sense.
Yeah, it truly is. I think you did well. And I guess it's not saying that you absolutely ruined them in their trade. I mean, you might have got the big advantage there.
We're in two different spots is something. He wants younger players and picks, and DJ Chark is still young, but, you know, Mims has potential in that second-round pick. This class is going to have a lot of depth, especially at wide receiver, so he could end up with some good players.
Absolutely. It's not as one-sided as I guess we're making it to be, but, you know, you did come out on the better end, I would say, from an objective equal standing point. Ben, I know you're in, well, frankly, a shitload of leagues. So, would you like to give us some of your?
Yeah, tricks? I've got one that I did last week, which was felt like a bit of a steal, which was picking up AJ Green, who I have mixed feelings on, but I think he's still going to be some level of productive. And all I had to give up was a fourth round pick in a 32-man league.
Yeah, I mean,
that's going to be the next Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's IDP as well, so you know, you can still pick some players up later.
Is this your contract league?
Yeah.
Is he on a nasty contract?
It's not so bad. It's fairly short term, so it's 2 years. I can't remember what the cap hit was, but it's, you know, I've got room. So it's kind of
worth the risk.
Not so, yeah.
Another exactly. player.
And if he's Ben, if he's you know, half as productive as he has been in the past, that's probably still fine. You know, my wide receivers in that team are like Nelson Aguilar, and he's actually surprisingly productive this season. But and like Hakeem Butler and people like that, you know, it's not great.
Ben, your brain must be the size of a blimp in a 32-man IDP contract.
It's a bit intense, that one.
That's honestly, it's like fucking 42 head out there.
It's that one's quite fun though. That's free agency in that league is a good time.
And I know we've talked about there's no player copies, right? your
no player contract copies at all. Yeah, it's tough. Also, it's on Fantrax, which is horrific.
Oh, Fantrax is rough.
I keep saying move to sleeper. Now they now do 32 team leagues, but maybe it will last next year.
What's the score in Fantrax?
Mate, I can't even. It's boring. It's not sort of particularly modern. It's not PPR.
Standard.
It's pretty standard. Yeah, exactly. And it's and also the defense is a bit all over the place. It's like really you can only score points on defense with elite D line or linebackers, and then the defensive backs, like they're just everyone scores really highly, so it's just it makes it really irrelevant. so it's kind of like, well, you don't spend any time or effort. I learned that the hard way because I picked up like Ramsey and Trey Flowers, and a couple of sort of decent defensive backs, and I was like, why are these guys hanging around? And
that's they just don't get the targets. The wide receivers they cover aren't getting any targets.
Yeah, exactly. I picked up. Free agency was fun in that one because I picked up Khalil Mack and Miles Jack, and then I flipped Miles Jack for a first round pick, which I and a couple of other bits, and I turned that into someone sensible, but I've forgotten who it was. Give me a second; it'll come back to me.
Now, at this point, I guess you'd probably ask me what trades I've done, but I haven't made any trades. So how about we just shoot right back around to Dustin? Well, actually, that's a good point, is because, you know, we just spoke about the trade you made, the one where you got Chark for Mims in a sec. But see, you got another trade there which ties in really well. You want to talk about that one for us?
Well, so here's the league. This is a start. So, I mean, I don't have any, but it's a super flex 12-teamer. Probably, honestly, one of my most competitive leagues. And I've been... I made some very, very, you'll hear my worst trades later, and I've made some very bad trades in this league, being really, just really new to Dynasty and kind of buying into some hype too much. But I recently just gave up Jalen Hurts, who, you know, could start at any time with how bad Wentz is playing, and Godwin, who I just acquired last year. But in return, I received DeAndre Swift. Yeah. Which is huge because if you heard my running backs, they mostly, you know, they're bad. They're Royce Freeman, Tariq Cohen's on IR. Miles Gaskin is he's the only running back worth a while for my team. So I picked up Josh Adams hoping he would do something at one point. But I got Swift, I got Mims, and I got a 2021 second, which is likely to be mid-round. So maybe, you know, Godwin has some hype to him still, but with the sign that was before the signing of AB. So who knows really, if he starts to produce or if he takes a step back again, you know, if he continues to underperform. But I needed running back help. So I loved this. I thought it was cheap, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I knew you were a fan of DeAndre Swift to begin with. I knew you were a fan of Mims to begin with. So, you know, Godwin, I'm not even sure what to think of Godwin anymore. I'm not. I mean, before his season, people are talking about him like he was like the literal reincarnation. And now I just don't hear a peep about him.
He's been injured quite a bit this season.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, like I said, dear listenership, I have been working very heavily this season, unfortunately, with the uptick in work and Fordham and whatnot, so I've missed quite a lot of good football viewing.
So I've dug out that trade that I was just talking about. So bear with me on this. So I picked up Miles Jack on a free agency, and I traded him and a couple of other depth pieces for a 21 first, a 22nd, a 22 first, Sloman, Kendrick Bourne, and a couple of other small pieces. And then I traded one of those firsts for Joshua Kelly. So overall, I was pretty pleased with that that haul.
Joshua Kelly.
Yeah.
Good move.
Who I am really enjoying this year, or hoping to enjoy. I've got a lot of belief that he is going to end up taking that backfield, and probably by the end of the season.
Right, shall I start talking about worst trades?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So this is a bit shameful. We've all got some pretty bad ones. Dustin, do you want to kick off? I mean, you've got some shockers.
Yeah, you know, I've only been playing Dynasty for, this is probably my third season. And I hopped into some right away, and I joined my most competitive league, the one I kind of talked about earlier. I've been rebuilding because I have made some absolutely terrible trades, and made them early, which was great. I drafted, honestly, what ended up being a really good team. But I like I said, I made some absolutely putrid trades, ones that I didn't even list, such as Christian McCaffrey, a first, a second, and like Gio Bernard for like Kamara and somebody else. So I paid up way too much for really what ended up being, you know, it was still an RB1, but not much of a difference. But one of the ones that always sticks in my head is me buying the hype way too much for potential trades or potential players. And I have it still sticks with me, but in 2018, I traded Cooper Kupp, who hadn't broke out yet, but had some potential, you know, like a second round rookie pick the year before. And I received Cameron Meredith, who had recently signed with the Saints and was looking like he was going to be their wide receiver too. And Malcolm Mitchell, who was getting some hype to be the number one Patriots wide receiver. And that was the whole trade. That's all I got.
That's bad. That's really bad.
Yeah. So, you know, even though we have a podcast and we're obviously experts, we definitely have made some mistakes, because that just absolutely kills me.
Even the experts can make mistakes, guys. You should still listen to us, though.
Yeah, but even if it's just for the fun, convivial chat, you know.
Yeah, and Ben's crumpets.
Yeah.
God, I love hearing about his crumpets.
I think that was pre-record. But yeah, I did just have a fantastic English snack of two crumpets and butter just before we started. So that's kept me going.
Have you got any bad trades?
Yeah,
there?
One that really sticks in my craw. Just before the league season started, not in my contract 32-man, but another 32-man league I've got. Much smaller, not IDP or anything like that. I traded a first round pick for Matt Breida.
You were buying the hype hard.
I was. I mean, to be fair, I was desperate for a running back, and I was taking a chance that Breida would be the lead back for the Dolphins. But as it turns out, I was completely wrong.
Even worse, it's this year's Breida and not like last year or the year before, San Fran Breida.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I actually really liked him in the 49ers. But yeah, he's just not been used, which is a shame, because I think he's a really good player, actually. Or at least a workable player. Maybe really good overstating it. But yeah, I'm gutted about that, to be honest.
32-man league as well. I mean, I guess I'm not even totally sure, but you said it wasn't IDP.
No, it's not IDP. It's only like six players, like one running back, a couple of wide receivers, and a tight end, and then maybe a flex spot. Oh yeah, no, then it's a super flex spot, so anything can go there. So yeah. To be honest, I'm actually like smashing that league, because I've got Kyler, a couple of really good wide receivers, but just no running back.
How do you handle?
God, that is
absolutely... How do you handle quarterbacks in that league?
I mean, they're quite valuable, because it's...
Do you just have to eat the bye week?
Yeah, that's what I've done. Literally just last week, I had to just put up with it. I think I started... Or it might be this week. They're on bye this week, aren't they? Yeah. So I'm just going to have to... I'm sticking in... I can't even remember who I'm sticking in. Might be Robbie Anderson, actually. And it's obviously not as good as Kyler, but it just is what it is. And you just accept that you're going to lose.
I don't know. Robbie could pop off for like 5 touchdowns and 250 yards. It's not out with realm of possibility.
Well, I can't even find that league. There's too many bloody leagues. It's a nightmare.
You might pull a Chase Claypool and get you the dub.
John?
Yes? Any bad trades at any point?
Yeah, actually, I've made a pretty miserable trade before, and that was actually with you, Dustin.
Oh, I like hearing these.
This is when Philip Lindsay and Keelan Cole were popping off. And I had Philip Lindsay, you had Keelan Cole, who you'd picked
and
up.
I had no
waivers.
Running backs.
Yeah, no running backs. And I traded Philip Lindsay and someone else for Keelan Cole. Because Keelan Cole had dropped big, big points. And I had made that trade, and literally the week that I'd made that trade, from then on, he dropped sub like 7 points every game. I ended up dropping Keelan Cole. And then I retraded with you, Dustin, to get Philip Lindsay back the next season.
I remember you made a Reddit post asking about it because and I think I commented on it. I found it on there and I commented, you should ask for Keelan Cole in a second. Or you should offer Keelan Cole in a second for Philip Lindsay or something like that.
I remember that. I was absolutely mortified. I was like, I'm supposed to be an ex and I shouldn't be asking some random and stranger. And what I know, my trade partner finds it.
I liked that trade. That was a good one.
So, yeah, I think the absolute embarrassment of being bodied by Dustin and those two trades, and online, and now all over the internet in this podcast episode, has made me hesitant to trade in. But yeah, I'm usually very, very careful in a trade, so if I feel like I'm going to lose it anyway, I'll try and put something in so I don't lose it as bad that the other player doesn't care about. Because, like I said, Dustin just absolutely put me in the ground and left.
To be fair, Lindsay's been okay. I mean, he's gone now, but he's been okay.
Yeah, I still have to play him. That's how bad this team, my team, is right now. Is I'm still in the situation where, like, last week I had to play him.
That's poor.
Yeah, you're telling me the guy who's played Philip Lindsay. Actually, I've got him in 2 leagues. I'm only in 2 dynasty leagues, and I've got him in both leagues.
I'll end us with one last one here, since I seem to be really good at making bad trades. In 2018, somewhat near his peak, I traded David Johnson and Godwin, again, probably a little bit before he broke out, for Kerryon Johnson, which was looking like a great rookie, LeSean McCoy, and Josh Gordon, who had just gotten reinstated.
Oh, you're one of those fools.
Okay, first of all, I love Josh Gordon. So yes, I didn't buy in. I didn't expect the same thing, but I had already made a couple of dumb trades. I was kind of trying to get pieces just to be, you know, I really liked Kerryon. I bought into him being a great running back and really having the opportunity to be a top level running back. And then LeSean McCoy was just another piece to have, and Gordon was somebody who I was hoping would spark and gain some value. Godwin hadn't broke out yet, so there was some hype with him still, and I probably sold him a little cheap. But I also, you know, I also recognized that I didn't think David, even though, you know, I love David being from Clinton and everything, and you know, my hometown, I didn't buy into him having a long career just because of his age when he got to the league. So that, you know, it really at the time was a really bad trade, and he looks even worse now. But I actually would say I almost went net even, and not quite net even. I think I flipped Kerryon Johnson for 2 firsts. I flipped Josh Gordon for like a second somewhere, and then I could flip LeSean McCoy for a second. So it could have been a lot worse overall. But at the time, you know, it ended up being a pretty bad trade, especially with Godwin doing well now.
So you recovered,
I recovered pretty
well,
especially with Johnson losing, David Johnson losing a ton of value. I recovered pretty well.
Yeah, that's good. This is about this. You keep on your toes. You adjust the situation. You know, a trade's not necessarily the be-all and end-all. You know, you have an asset. If you don't like it, move on. You don't even have to trade for someone.
Look, at some point, your Cameron Meredith and your Malcolm Mitchells will regain value.
Yeah, absolutely. All you have to wait is for that little...
That was a joke. That never happened.
I'm trying to cheer you up, buddy. I'm trying to cheer you up before you go golfing. Sitting on the eighth hole... lying in the dirt, crying about Cameron Meredith.
That will 100% be me in about 15 minutes.
All right. Well, boys, it's been an absolute honor. Pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure. And we will be back in all of our precious listeners' ear holes soon with another episode. I promise you that. And this episode was actually brought to you by wiccanwonder.com. It is a new candle company created by one of our very own, and they are gearing up to, you know, can someone please give me a candle company?
Yankee candle.
Oh, Yankee's going to absolutely shit the bed when they see what Wick and Wonder are doing. Yankee Candle's going to be like, oh, what's going on here? And then Wick and Wonder's going to come along and absolutely just send them into the shadow realm with the wonderful flavors that they are going to be offering for your nose. It's going to absolutely be outstanding. And what they're doing is actually offering you a discount. If you go to wiccanwonder.com, if we have any UK listeners out here, America, there's still some technical difficulties there. If you go to wiccanwonder.com, sign up for the wait list, you get 10% off your first order. I know I've already signed up. My partners are already signed up as well. We will be definitely getting some delightful homemade, family-made candles, because that is what makes a house a home. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I would say that, though I'm biased.
Oh, yeah, because you're wiccanwonder.com.
And, you know, I'm only going to endorse products I get to use. It's not fit for Americans right now, but I'm excited to try it when I get the opportunity and your company gets to that point, because
yeah,
I know you'll do big things.
It's exciting. It's exciting. So they're handmade, hand-poured by me. Soy, 100% natural, all that sort of stuff. And they've got some beautiful designs done by my other half. So anyone in the UK, just check them out. Wiccanwonder.com. Appreciate the plug. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. And if you ever do end up making a potato smelling one, I'm sure Dustin would love to buy that.
You know, potato, corn, any of those. Manure whatever is a good one too. That's probably one of the favorites.
Yeah.
Outstanding. All right, it's been a pleasure, boys. Be safe. Keep well.
Take care, guys.
Right.